Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We've been sharing on the fear of the Lord from time to time on VFN Radio. And Pat, I know you've been reading John Bevere's book on the fear of the Lord.
Powerful
book, and you've been sharing on that. I've been reading a book on the fear of the Lord, actually, by Joy Dawson, and it's called Intimate Friendship with God Through the Understanding of the Fear of the Lord. And in chapter 3, she talks about release from the fear of man. And it's so important today. So important, because we need to understand that if we're going to fear God, we can't fear man at the same time.
Right.
And it doesn't work. You know, was it John Bevere who said,
you can't fear man and fear God at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about you serve what you fear.
Right.
That's so powerful, because it's so true. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. You see, the fear of man is a trap. It's a snare.
Mm-hmm.
It's designed to get you all locked up, all trapped up, where you'll be following man's approval and man's opinions versus God, the only opinion that actually really matters. And in this book, she says, the fear of the Lord is the only way to be released from the fear of man. And she goes on to say that the fear of man is being more impressed with man's reactions to our actions than with God's reaction.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to repeat that again.
Wow, that's good.
The fear of man is being more impressed with man's reaction to our actions than with God's reactions. That's so important, because you can be living a life that's always doing, like, you know, a test.
Mm-hmm.
If I say this, if I say that, you know, will I be liked? Will I be accepted? Is this acceptable? You know, how's this going to come across? And it's a constant measuring.
Mm-hmm. Constantly wanting man's approval.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if you keep living for that, then what will happen is that you will definitely compromise your walk with the Lord, because you're setting man's opinions way far above what God has to say.
Mm-hmm.
She goes on to say that when we have the fear of God upon us, we are impressed only with God's reaction. We are freed from the concern of what people think, and that's real freedom. And you look at a time right now that, my goodness, I mean, certain things are just not popular. I mean, listen, there's nothing wrong with being liked and wanting to have a relationship and have friends. And, you know, who wants enemies? Nobody wants enemies,
right.
You know? But it's amazing that if you do sometimes what God wants you to do and say what God wants you to say and stand for what God wants you to stand, that's not always going to be popular. And that might not make you the most popular person in your particular crowd, but you got to make that determination. Do you want to be popular or powerful? Do you want to be liked by man, or do you want to be liked by God? And do you want man's approval, or do you want God's approval?
Right.
And one of the things that she says, that you can ask the question, you know, when you're actually making a decision or something that you have to do, and you're like, okay, you know, I know that God, I know what people are saying. That's what she says. You can say this, or think this out loud, or pray this. You know, I've heard what they think. Basically, it's praying to God. I heard what they think, God. But what do you think?
Mm.
What do you think? I mean, oftentimes, I think people try to live lives totally independent, apart from God. I'm talking about believers. They just go on, and they don't even ask God the question, what do you think about this? I mean, I know what people are saying. I know what would be the politically correct. I know what the quote-unquote expectation would be. Mm-hmm. I know what people would want me to say about a time like this. But what do you have to say, God? What's on your heart? What does your word say? And then acting, she says, according to his revealed opinion. And when God says whatever he says, you obey it. Mm-hmm. Whatever God says. I say, you know what? It just doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter. Because you're going to fall into a trap. We're talking about how we can live a life that's more God-conscious than really self-conscious. Because the fear of man is really not so much a man consciousness as it is a self-consciousness. Mm-hmm. It's all about the preservation of self. It's all about, you know, being liked, well-received, having favor, and how you show up in a particular situation as opposed to how God shows up. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm amazed at how some people are comfortable and being in a place or in a situation or an environment that Jesus would run from. You know what I'm saying? It's like, wait a second here. How, if we're going to walk with God and he's our best friend and the lover of our soul, we want to do things that honor him and mm-hmm. and respect him and show him that, you know what, God, we fear you in our life. We don't have compartmental living. And this chapter is so important because you will serve what you fear.
That's right.
You can't serve God. Mm. You can't serve God.
It makes me think about Saul in his life and the downfall of his. I mean, it was he had such a fear of man mm-hmm. that he cared nothing about what God thought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, everything he did, it was always in the eyes of man. I mean, God would tell him to do something and then, you know, he'd do part of it, but then not all of it.
Right.
Because he was so fearful and he wanted to please the guys that was with him at the time.
Yeah.
In so many different situations. And then it was his downfall because he ended up losing the kingdom.
Yeah.
You know, and dying, you know, miserable death. It was terrible.
But when you think about it, fear of man is such an important thing. When Saul was actually even called, when he was called to be the first king of Israel and they brought all these people out, he was hiding amongst the luggage.
That was a sign right there.
I mean, that catch a clue. He was rattling, shaking in his boots. And because of that, thing was never dealt with. Talking about spiritual vagabond yesterday. Now think about this now. We're connecting the dots here. But because that was never dealt with in his life, and you may run from situations, you may run from a correction or a truth or something that God wants to remove in your life. Listen, if something is surfacing, God, you know, reveals it so that he can heal it. It's because it's going to be a stumbling block to you. And guess what? Probably to others.
Mm-hmm.
And Saul had this fear from day one. Day one, shaking in his boots amongst the luggage.
Right.
And he becomes king. And then he forgot where he came from.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about being in a position, and you can start, maybe you got the job, maybe you got promoted, and now you got the job.
Mm.
Now, God blessed you now. Mm. God opened the door for you.
Yeah.
You've asked, you know, people to pray, and they prayed, and, you know, you need to take the test, or you needed to do good on the interview, and you needed to, you know, put your best foot forward, whatever the scenario is. It so many different ways. But the end result is, let me tell you, God opened the door and you got a job and hey, it happened. But now that you've been on the job and now they're recognizing how good you're doing and that you're fruitful and faithful, and all of a sudden it's like you're liking that praise, you're liking that encouragement, and now you start compromising your walk with God, you start changing, mm-hmm. you know, what God is trying to do in your life. I mean, all of a sudden now it's like, well, I don't know if I can come to the gathering on Sunday, you know, because I may have to work. What? You know what I'm saying? You may have to what? It's like, didn't God open that opportunity for you?
Didn't God give you that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's a diss. That's a disrespect to God because mm-hmm. let me tell you something. If God gave it to you, God can do anything he wants. God mm-hmm. can, the Bible says that God holds the heart of the king in his hand. And he could direct it like a water course, whichever mm-hmm. way he wishes. And you don't have to fear your boss or your supervisor or they're losing your job. You can, with faith, approach your supervisor, you know, and honor and say, listen, I'm going to need this day off. Can you work with me?
Mm-hmm.
And can you work with me? But if you fear him and you want his approval more than God's approval, you won't even mention it.
Mm-mm.
You won't even ask for the time off. You're going to be like, well, okay.
Yeah.
Because I got to have
afraid
this.
You're going to lose everything mm-hmm. that God gave you.
You're right. going to lose.
And guess what ends up happening?
You end up losing it.
Prophecy comes to pass.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're gonna lose what you didn't even, what you couldn't even get on your own. How is that possible? If God gave it to you, I think God is the one who's going to be the one able to keep you. It reminds me of Jeroboam. I mean, he's like,
yeah.
You didn't even have these kingdoms, bro. I mean, God hooked you up here. You know what I'm saying?
Gave like, it to you.
What is your deal? And that's the thing we have to remember. We have to remember that when God blesses us, he's going to be the one that's going to be able to keep us. And, you know, he didn't bring us to a destination to drop us off and say, here you go.
Mm-hmm.
It's our responsibility to stay dependent upon him, to stay humble, to stay low, and to watch what he's going to do
mm-hmm.
and say, no matter what, I'm not going to fear, you know, man's approval. I'm going to stay with God all the way through. Saul, right from the beginning of King Saul, chosen to be the first king of Israel. I mean, think about that. I mean, Paul was looking to find his father's donkeys. I mean, no plan whatsoever. Saul. And all of a sudden, on this journey,
mm-hmm.
he gets to be chosen to be king.
Yeah.
I mean, chosen. Right. Chosen. Of all the men of Israel, Saul gets tapped by God.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, you would think that God taps you. That would be like, you know, God, I love you. I'm saying, I am the king of Israel now. Mm-hmm. This is an honor. Whatever you say, whatever. But something happened in Saul's life that he had fear. I mean, he was called out. He was hiding amongst the luggage, and they brought him out and they anointed him. But then later on, you see in his life the different decisions he was making as king, that he feared the people that he was called to lead.
Mm-hmm.
Now, strange, but he wanted their approval. Here, he's the leader, he's the king, mm-hmm. he's the authority figure. And yet, he's the one that's fearing their approval. And in one such account in the Bible, I mean, Samuel was supposed to offer the sacrifice. Samuel was supposed to offer the sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And they're waiting now. There's a battle about to happen.
Right.
And Saul's men, they're you know, getting loud now. They're saying, hey, you know, what's going on here? They're going to be killed. And, you know. Mm-hmm. What is we're gonna have a sacrifice, and you know what's the deal here? But they're getting antsy, and I'm paraphrasing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Saul is practically wringing his hands behind the curtain. What are we gonna do? The people are getting upset.
Right.
The soldiers are getting upset. And it's oftentimes how it works. You know, maybe you're in leadership or you've got something to do, and there's somebody that's just, you know, like a gnat or something around you, trying to stir you up. And if you don't lead, you're going to let them lead you. And Saul, he didn't lead.
Mm-hmm.
Fear was gripping him because he cared about the approval of these men. And he didn't want them to desert him. It's like, dude, were you trusting in these men or were you trusting in God? I mean, what happened at some point?
Mm-hmm.
Certain point, your trust just shifted. And it went straight towards this man, this army, what you guys were able to do, as opposed to what God was going to do. And so finally Saul gets hasty and says, okay, give him lambs, give me whatever, and throw them on this fire, and let's sacrifice. And
mm-hmm.
just about, you know, as he was doing this, Samuel
walks up. Yeah.
Dude, what are you doing?
I told you to wait.
Yeah. What are you doing? Because he started functioning in a place that he had no authority to function.
Right. That's right.
He went beyond his realm of authority, and because of fear, let me tell you something, fear will make you do some crazy things. Fear will make you do some crazy, it's like a gateway drug. It opens up the doors to all kinds of just lying and controlling and just doing stuff mm-hmm. that you're not supposed to be doing.
Right.
All kinds of sins because of fear. And in this case, he feared man. Mm-hmm. Sam was like, look, you're completely out of line. You don't have any authority to do that before God.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to wait, and the truth of the matter is because you didn't wait, now God's going to deal with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so Samuel continues to share some more important things with Saul, but I want to focus on Saul's comments after he gets rebuked from Samuel. I mean, enough of rebuke that would have sent probably most humble people to the ground and be like, oh my goodness, what have I done?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Saul is saying, would you come out with me so that the men, you know, would honor me? And I'm like, what is going on here?
It's like he doesn't get it. He just does not get it.
He's blinded.
Well, that's what happens when you start fearing man,
mm-hmm.
and you totally disregard God's ways. That veil of deception just gets thicker and thicker and thicker to the point you just can't see anymore.
Right.
I mean, you can't see.
You have a veiled, blind mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that is such a scary thing, to be in a place where your mind is veiled. You can't literally see. And the things that you think you're seeing, that you think are right, are actually dead wrong. That's what deception mm-hmm. is. Deception is that what you think you're doing is right is absolutely 100% dead wrong.
Yeah.
But you don't know. That's why it's so important to have a relationship with people that love you, that know God, that walk with God, so that if they see that you're walking over the cliff, they can say, you're walking over the cliff.
Yeah.
Watch out. Now, do you want them to do that politely or gently or whisper? Or do you want them to get your attention and say, you're about to fall over the cliff, dude,
mm-hmm. yeah.
or push you out if they have to? Well, Joy continues to write, and she says, when there is pressure from men's opinions, weigh each decision in the light of judgment seat of Christ, where each one of us shall give an account of himself to God. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When you're feeling this pressure, Saul, you need to weigh this thing at the end of the day. How is this going to look out when this is all over before God? How is this going to pan out? Because in reality, we're going to have to account for every word that was spoken and everything we did while we lived here on this earth. She goes on to say, then it's not hard to obey God in a difficult situation. It costs us so much more when we fear men and not God. Think mm-hmm. about that. The cost is so much more for disobedience than it ever is for obedience. Mm-hmm. And the enemy has twisted that in many people's minds to think that, man, I can't do this, you know, or this is challenging, or as if it's an option. But your disobedience has a higher price, Jonah, than your obedience right. of going to Nineveh. Mm-hmm. Hello. Big price.
Yeah.
Which one do you want to pay? But regardless of the price, you just want to be in the right place with God. We want to encourage you that if you want to enjoy intimacy with the Lord, if you want God to be your friend, I mean, that's the highest end. Today, people seem to be, you know, love titles and, you know, give themselves their own title. But I tell you, if you want to be anything in God, you know, the highest place that you can be is his friend. He tells his mm-hmm. friends his secrets. Just be a friend of God. But if you want friendship with him, you're going to need to fear him. You're going to need to learn how to approach him and to honor him and to keep him at the center of your life. Without that, it's just not going to go well. I mean, Saul found that at the end of it all, the saddest thing about Saul is that God was at the end said, I repent that I ever made him king.
Mm.
I mean, that is tragic. This is his story. And he didn't get it.
Mm.
He had David in there. He had his son, Jonathan. I mean, there's so many opportunities there for that to turn around. It could have been such a different ending for him. One thing I have found out as I read God's word is that God is writing a story. I mean, listen, the story moves on with or without us. And we can either cooperate on what God's intended purpose is for our life, or we can, you know, be wrote off here of the scene.
Yeah.
And I mean, I am sure that was not God's plan or intention for Saul's life.
Mm-mm.
But he didn't cooperate with the author. When you don't cooperate with God, it just doesn't end well. And there's always somebody else that the Lord will use and call and use in his kingdom. We don't want to be written off by God. We don't want to fall, you know, on the wayside because we were not obedient to what God wanted us to do, because we didn't want to face the fact that, you know, we wanted to obey God. Listen, fear of the Lord, not man. We need to be more impressed with God's reactions to our actions than we are with men's reactions to our actions.
That's right.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.